The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Ooh. Nice stick and move by Poirier.
Oh, these guys again.
This is fun.
I mean, look at the action, non-stop from start to finish.
That's fighting. Fight isn't a fight until there's something to overcome. And we fought tonight.
Dustin the Diamond Poirier!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I today are going to be joined by the great Dustin Poirier returns
it's
to the show.
I'm sorry, did I cut you off? Go.
No, buddy. I was going to say that Matt and I did text a little over the weekend. Because I got your text and I watched some of the fight on delay by like an hour. I was just delayed a little bit. So I said, let me watch. And wow, what a fantastic card. Holly Holm, Irene Aldana. Just an incredible night of fights. And we didn't get that many right, Matt. I mean, unfortunately, you know, it's getting, are we getting worse? You're better at it than I am. But, or is it just that the parody in UFC, that everybody is so close.
Well, I'll tell you. First of all, let's just start off by saying all hail Holly Holm.
Oh.
If I had an applause button, I would hit it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, you know what's nice? When somebody proves you're wrong.
Yep.
And somebody's, you know what I mean? I was talking about it last night with Ray Longo, and Ray Longo couldn't say enough stuff. Now, anything I said, no one talks about that, is anything I say, he's going to be like, yeah, that's what I said. No, we were Longo. He thinks I'm always biting off him.
Well.
He goes, you're the great repeater. I go, yeah. He goes, everything from my jokes. Yeah, your jokes. The guy does Milton Berle jokes.
Matt, I got to be honest. I mean, it does seem to me like, you know, Ray has a big influence on you. That's all I'm saying.
Well, he's a character. But anyway, we were in agreement with how fantastic Holly Holm looked.
Yeah.
She's at this stage of the game, she's changing up her game.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, where she's, look at the way she's utilizing her wrestling. I mean, she seems like she wants to be in there. Like, you know what I mean? She's not showing up for a paycheck. It was just so, it was extremely one-sided.
Yeah.
Dominant. She showed a whole range of skill. Her skill set was just, it was off the charts, Jimmy. It was almost sweeter that there wasn't a finish because I liked seeing everything she was doing from the takedowns to the way she would blitz and just the kicks, everything.
Her, by the way, and I thought of this watching the fight, we all talk about like Colby Covington and how just unstoppable his cardio is, or Frankie Edgar. Holly Holm has to be talked about in the same breath with those guys as far as amazing cardio. She does not stop fucking moving for five rounds. She is, her cardio is incredible. Her conditioning and what a hard person. It's just nonstop kicks and punches and takedowns. Just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, she's been in the game a while, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen her in having like boxing wars and stuff. I mean, she's just, she's something else. And I was just, I can't say enough how impressed I was with her, with her performance. I thought she looked awesome.
It was great.
And it's a big, a big learning experience for Aldana.
Yeah. I mean, Holly is a tough fight for anybody. And it's like, it's nice to say this is the first time she's won two in a row since she beat Ronda. So she's been kind of had a bit of an on off, like, you know, win and a loss and a win and a loss. But she never looks bad in a fight. You know, Holly is not an easy fight for anybody. And I was amazed at the cardio watching this last fight.
Jimmy, did you watch all the fights the other night?
Yes. Every fight.
Every fucking fight.
I did. Yeah, I did. I watched them out of order, but getting your text about Luigi, I was like, all right, I'll just start at the beginning. But then I stopped and went back. And yeah, I watched. Aloma, Luke Bunmi against Jin Yufrei or Jin Yufrei was a great fight. I love this Luke Bunmi.
Was Jimmy, a
fun fighter to watch.
First of all the fights were amazing.
Yeah.
But we can't just the Luigi the Brazilian. Let me tell you about Luigi the Brazilian. Now, why I call him that, I mean, where did he come from, Jimmy? He looked fantastic.
Yes, he did.
He was saying he had a hard time in his first fight. Could someone bring up his first fight to me again, please? He looked fantastic. But then he started crying and they had the mic right up in his face. They got to give the guy some privacy when he wants to. Wow. It gets emotional there, Jimmy.
People get emotional.
But I was really impressed with that kid. But I'm watching it next to Ciro. It was me, Ciro, and Edwin, my brother-in-law, you know. And Ciro was like, oh, look, Luigi. He's Italian. And I'm like, oh, I guess I see the Brazilian flag, and I'm telling him.
Yeah.
So I said, no, he's the Brazilian. So he became Luigi.
Luigi the Brazilian.
But then I seen his nickname. He is Italian, isn't it? What's his nickname? Oh, it is Dos Santos he lost to.
I know.
His nickname's the Italian Stallion, Jimmy.
Uh-huh.
I asked my wife for a shot. I don't know if she's coming up with it.
Of?
Yesterday was her birthday.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we went out. It's like, listen, we went out to my buddy, my old high school buddy, junior high, actually, Bobby Russo. Hey, anybody see Bobby Russo? Sorry. It's from a Steven Seagal movie. Ever seen fucking, what is the one where he actually, he's from Brooklyn, he acts like an Italian guy?
Oh, I don't know.
Steven Seagal does the worst Italian.
Bad?
Oh, you never seen that?
I don't remember. I'm sure I did, don't remember.
Bobby Lupo. Anyway, he's fucking horrendous.
Is he supposed to sound like he's from Brooklyn?
So bad, but yet so good. It's before he went off the deep end with the fucking, the one when he was like a chubby guy and like a, lived on like a reserve. The one when he was like started like fighting for nature and shit. I don't know. He got weird. He got weird in his movies. They can't all be under siege or above the law.
Yeah.
Above the law is great. All right, bring me back. What the hell are we talking
about? Code of Honor? No.
That.
I want to know the name of this movie. Out for Justice. I don't know.
Out for Justice. Yes, it was Out for Justice.
Was it?
Thank you, Zuri. Zuri knows. Yeah. Out for Justice. Oh, he's so good. Dude, he plays the worst Italian guy ever. Hey. Yeah, the bitch.
Bad, huh?
Jimmy, right. I don't know. Could you watch it? And why do you put your name on the Zoom as Sweet Daddy? You know, like, you know.
It's
and
nice.
You know what's funny? I was going to say, because when I was renaming it, because it's my wife's name on here, I'm like, let me put a funny name in. And I didn't do it because I'm like, I'll be more mature. And then I look at you and it says Sweet Daddy.
Sure.
Jimmy, so we went out to my friend Bobby Russo's place over in East Meadow, my old stomping grounds, called the Garden Social. Okay. It's nice outside seating, you know what I mean? A little picnic table. They had, Jimmy, the meatballs. They got regular meatballs, they got chicken meatballs, they got eggplant meatballs.
Mm.
Two out of the three I liked. I don't want to bore everybody, but
you
guess.
Didn't like the eggplant meatballs.
Jimmy,
you didn't care.
Who knows
for
me? If you wouldn't, I beat that nose of yours.
You didn't. Yes. You didn't like the vegan or vegetarian option meatball.
But it is funny. I do like eggplant rollatini. We can get back to the fights now. I don't want to.
Okay. And by the way, the co-main. I want to talk about the co-main because this Carlos Felipe over Jorgen De Castro. De Castro is a big, heavy leg kicker. Like he has like those fucking Mark Hunt legs and just brutal leg kicks. He's very effective. But Carlos Felipe came out almost checking kicks that weren't happening. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be a long night for Carlos Felipe. But man, is he fast. And that was a really, really fun fight to watch. And by round three, DeCastro really had, I don't know if I've ever seen any referee break people up as fast. Can we get the name of the ref who was in that? Because he was really like, literally, DeCastro was putting him up against the cage and just leaning on him. You could tell he had nothing left. And the ref is like, yep, he wasn't having it at all. All right, come on, let's go. Split, yeah. fight. Like, he was breaking them up.
And Carlos, in the future, Carlos is going to have to start taking that away. Because a couple of times, I think he was almost motioning to the ref. And you can listen, man. They're going to do that. And I'll tell you right now, there's going to be guys who are better wrestlers than Jorgen DeCastro. That's who's right. not really known for that, you know? So they're going to be putting you on your ass. So you got to – don't go – don't let them put you against the cage, you know? Hey, listen, I know. Easier said than done. But, hey, man, referee Kevin
– Sataki. Kevin Sataki. Thank you.
Yeah, he wasn't having it.
Yeah.
You know? Because it was getting a little bit repetitive, you know?
But he wasn't doing anything. He was just leaning on him. And you're right. It's your job. It's, you know, obviously Philippe's job to stop that because he's going, what the fuck's he doing? But I was just enjoying watching it. And there was one point where DeCastro had him up against the cage and Philippe leaned around and spanked him on the ass.
I love that.
Did you see the little spanking again?
I saw that. I think you should have done more of it.
It was very funny.
It was hysterical. You know, Jorgen's having a hard time lately and he's showing glimpses in each fight of some really good stuff.
Yeah.
But he can't stay consistent. And he gets derailed, kind of, not easily, but he gets derailed, you know? What I like about Carlos is he's a little chubby, you know?
Like that, yeah.
I like the chubby tough guys.
He's a little chubby.
You know? Well, what do you think? No, a little chubby.
A little chubby, no?
But it's deceiving because you think, all right, man, the fat guy's going to get tired. No, I don't think so. All right, so far we didn't pick too good with the first.
Well, he won six straight. And then he lost to Hardy, and now he lost to Philippe, both by decisions. But that third round, I mean, there's anyone in that division that fights him is going to know you just got to take him halfway through that second round.
Yes, that's true. That's true. I want to talk to you about Jermaine.
Durandamé. Yes.
First of all, she looked great in there. She looked great. Juliana Pena is so tough. And she always... Yep. This is an interesting thing with Juliana. She has really good and she's really good takedowns. Like she's stuck to you and she's not getting off. Like, you know what I mean? She's really good at getting that fight to the floor. And she has a good ground and pound. But this is the thing. This is two fights in a row where it's interesting. She got the fights to the floor with some of the best strikers in all of women's MMA.
That's right.
With Jermaine and with Valentina. And then she got submitted by both of them. So something with that has to be, I think that she has to start, even though, listen, she got caught in the guillotine on the way down.
Yeah.
But with the long body of Jermaine, she had a hard time really doing effective ground and pound. Like she might've landed here and there, but Jermaine was actually landing her back a little bit. She has a very long body. So what I would suggest to Juliana, a little constructive criticism, if I may, Jimmy, is just, she has really good jujitsu. She has to start improving her position. You know what? It's not enough just to get it down. I know she could beat a lot of girls and work them over from within, between their legs in the guard. She could work them over, but just start improving your position. Mouth is the goal. You get there, that's where you start really unloading. Or even half guard. Get the half guard. It's half the problems. You know what I mean, Jimmy? Where you're not going to get arm locks and getting off balance and even effective ground and pound. So I would just recommend that she should just use her jiu-jitsu. She already gets the fight to the floor. Before you start working her over, get to a little bit more of a dominant position because she has the jiu-jitsu to do it. She's not like a wrestling chick. She knows jiu-jitsu. She can get past.
Do you think that she underestimates people like Valentina and Jermaine on the floor because they're such good strikers? Do you think that she's just leaving herself open in these traps that she normally wouldn't against somebody whose jiu-jitsu she expected to be great?
Good point. But listen, there's exceptions to the rule, but the rule should be when I get to the floor, and this is what I try to instill in my guys, that's a little different than like the submission tournament state of mindset. In a fight, look to improve the position. You know what I mean? If you're not finishing on bottom, you're reversing, you're getting on top, not just to go back on bottom or lay with a leg or if you're missing on top. No, we're staying on top till I get him mounted and work him over. If I get him a submission in the meantime, that's great. But if I'm in guard, I'm getting half guard. Or I'm going right to cross side. If I'm cross side, I'm finishing. If I do not finish him, I'm improving to mount. Or I'm taking his back, finishing. I'm keep improving the position, work him over in the process. Don't settle into guard. Unless, of course, you are dealing with someone that you're just, you're having success from there right away and the guy can't defend for shit. But at this level, it's dangerous is what I'm saying.
You know how the UFC a lot of times during the live events will have a guest come on and talk for a little bit. They'll have a coach or they'll have somebody come in and talk for a couple of minutes during one of the rounds. They should literally have you when there's a matchup of two guys, Damian Maya against anyone, you know, or who knows jujitsu, you know, or Gilbert Burns, they should have you as a guest commentator sometimes come on during the second round for a minute because you break down jujitsu so well that they should have you come on once in a while and literally talk jujitsu during a fight.
Yeah, you know, Jimmy, I like to talk to you about it.
No, but you break. It's not an easy thing to break down. It's not an easy thing to describe in a way that somebody who doesn't take jujitsu can still understand it. Yeah. By the way, Matt, before I forget, our pal Carlos Condit looked really good. And really, at the end of that first round, woof, Court McGee's nose, he smashed his nose. It's rare you see a nose that is, it literally looked like his nose was made of putty and Carlos's fist had just left an imprint. Did you see that at the end of that first round? Wow.
It was at the very end. And I'll tell you right now, in a round that was going to go to Carlos anyway, I feel, but Court was in it. It sealed the deal with that round. It was like, boom.
Yeah.
And then from there, it was pretty much Carlos. You know, listen, Court's got a great attitude, man. That guy's going to, he's not going to stop. You got to really just shut his lights off. But it was good. It was more of the Carlos Condit that we're used to seeing. Like, you look back in form. I think the break was probably really good for him. You notice I hang out around the house in gi pants, Jimmy?
I did notice that. Yes.
Is that weird?
No, not at all. You're comfortable. I'm wearing a kilt.
I think they track. We can talk about. Listen, you know who the fuck I was impressed with, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Who?
If I had to guess, you know what? I was saying yeah in a way like, okay, you're going to tell me, but you know what? Let me.
No. I want you to guess because I think I opened up the wrong thing here.
I'm going to guess.
Yeah, I guess.
I think Kyler Phillips.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was a dude. The Matrix. That's his nickname, right? I'm 99% sure it's the Matrix. You know? But he was awesome. That was an awesome fight, Jimmy. He was all over the place. No?
Yeah.
Did you like it? The knees and the everything. Everything from that kid. Even the finish when he did that little jump backwards Hayukan thing. Kind of like a Wonder Boy does. No, you see it?
Yeah. I did see it, yes.
He was really good. Let me see. Where does this kid come from? What's the background on these guys? I want to get him on here, too.
Kyler Phillips?
Yes, I'm sure that's what I'm saying. Cameron Else, he was, you know, that's a tough fight for Cameron.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to know, how many fights does Kyler Phillips have in the UFC?
By the way, Matt, you hit it right on the head with the first fight. We both picked Todorovic to beat Daquan Townsend. I took him in a first round stoppage, and you were on the money. Even though it was a TKO, and you called a second round. Now's a great time to get a new home and take advantage of historically low mortgage rates with Guaranteed Rate, the official mortgage partner of the UFC. Their perfect combination of technology and experienced loan officers will help you get a great rate on your new home. Today's rates are historically low, so there's no better time to lock in that dream home. Get started right now at rate.com. Guaranteed Rate, positively different. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply. Company NMLS ID number 2611. NMLS consumeraccess.org.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
We got him.
We got him.
Listen, Dustin, you did way better than I would have called my wife in. I don't know what I'm doing.
We bobbing and weaving, man.
Jimmy, ask him about the question of the who's behind him.
I was going to ask the photo behind you, the boxer behind you. Who's the
Jack person? Johnson.
Yep, Matt was correct.
I wish Matt we hit the correct. Applause button for myself because I knew it. Why Jack Johnson now? I know
just
he's a
because,
stud.
Of course. But just the history with hand-to-hand combat, I think something very important and something that people should ask about and should know about if you're a fan of boxing or combat sports. Jack Johnson was the first African-American heavyweight champion in boxing at a time where, you know, it was a hard time for African-American people in America. And but he was a man. He was a heavyweight champion. He was dating white women in the time. You know, it was crazy, man. Just an incredible fighter.
Yeah, he really did. There was a lot of people rooting for him to lose back then. So, you know, it's funny, like, you know, people who to make a fighter more loved or hated, whatever it is, people wanted to see him fight.
Dude, and when it comes to combat sports, boxing, MMA, anything, fighting alone is hard and tough. But think about in a time like that when you're fighting the guy across from you, but you're also fighting what seems to be the whole world. Right. Everybody's, you know, it's incredible, man, to carry that much weight and go in there and be victorious.
What year was that?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, what years was he champion?
I'm not exactly sure. I don't want to give you.
Well, I'll look it up. That's the beauty of that.
Right?
The singer's coming up. The American.
Jack Johnson, the singer's coming up?
The singer's coming up. Hold on a second. All right, boxer. There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a good Jack Johnson story that he was he got pulled over. He was speeding and the cop gave him a ticket and he paid it right there, you know, and he gave him double the amount. And the cop said, "What's that for?" And Jack Johnson said, "That's because I'm be going the same speed on my way back."
That's funny. No, I remember I saw a documentary about him. He had a great attitude, man. Yeah. He was like, he had a big FU.
Dude,
everybody. He was great.
Yeah.
He was born 1898. So I'm going to guess like 1920s, 25, 26 in that area. Wow.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. I got Mike Tyson's signature right under that bad boy. So
look at that.
Yeah.
Heavyweight boxing's alive and well in my house.
I've met a lot of fighters too. And I always get gloves signed. I got to meet Ali because my manager knew somebody who ran his company. So I actually got to sit in his hotel room with him for 45 minutes. And his wife, and you know, Muhammad didn't talk much because I think he was on Parkinson's medication, so he was very quiet. But it was, you know, it's like you really don't know what to say. I think I said two or three things in 45 minutes. But I got him to sign a glove, and I like the fact that you got the glove signed.
Big Tyson fan?
Yeah, of course. I mean, boxing history in general, just heavyweight boxing, I'm very interested in.
How do you think it's going to go down with him and Roy Jones Jr.?
Dude, I don't even know if that's going to happen, dude. That's we'll see what happens. I know they pushed it back twice now, right?
Oh, did they really?
Why have they?
I'm not sure.
You know, it's funny, man. I used to love watching boxing, and UFC kind of made me not want to watch boxing anymore. I guess because I respected the. I mean, not that there's always perfect decision, but there was a few decisions, and I just couldn't enjoy it anymore because I just knew that there was so much other shit that went into it. And the fights took years to make when you want to fight.
Yeah. There was always a lot of talk about corruption in boxing and stuff like that. But it's cool to see Teddy Atlas kind of crossing that boxing MMA barrier as a respected, you know, analyst and trainer in boxing to come over and start breaking down mixed martial arts fights and reaching out to guys like Ngannou, me, Masvidal. It's pretty cool to see the respect.
Yeah, I love that. I'm a fan of that Teddy Atlas. That's a no-nonsense guy. And he's like a boxing, like the genius, purist. He's with Customato, you know, during that time. But yet, he's not closed-minded. He loves mixed martial arts. He loves UFC, he'll call it. But he loves watching the fights. I heard him talking about one of your fights, Dustin. Maybe it was versus Hooker. I'm not sure. He does it a podcast. I heard it on his podcast.
Yeah.
But he's a fan of MMA, and I do. I seen him working with Francis, and I thought that was excellent. I thought that was phenomenal.
Right. And especially with his history of training heavyweight fighters, heavyweight champions, it's cool to see that him in there with Francis.
Oh, 100%.
And it's funny with UFC, like you and Connor – I guess it was on Twitter or whatever. He's like, hey, let's fight in Ireland for charity. And the next thing you know, Dana's like, all right, yeah, we'd love to make that fight. Like that's what is so much more fun about watching UFC is the way fights are made is most times you get the fight you want. Not always, but most times these matchups are made. So is it official yet? I heard you've accepted. Has he accepted or do we not know?
I don't really know, honestly, what's going on with the whole situation. Of course, I would take the fight. I would fight him. I would fight Tony. I just want big fights, and I think that's what's coming. I'd like to fight again this year. We'll see. I haven't heard back from negotiation side of the UFC or Conor, but it's a new week, and I'm hoping to hear something.
What do you think, too? We were talking before, because obviously Gaethje is fighting Habib, and you fought both of those guys. And there's a moment in the fight with Gaethje where you grab his leg and it's like a really athletic moment for him. I think you grab his leg and he kind of does like he rolls back and jumps back. And I think it was on a kick. And I wonder how that's going to affect his fight with Habib. Is that going to stop him from throwing those devastating leg kicks?
Man, it's tough to say. I think stylistically Gaethje can give him some trouble if he keeps his feet in the center of the octagon, but saying that and actually doing that when Khabib is charging you is a totally different thing. I thought the same thing too. I'm going to box and move around and show good footwork. And then I got in front of him and I got pinned against the fence over and over again. I think if the wrestling happens against the fence, Khabib is going to do the same thing he always does. But I do think if the wrestling happens in the open, that Gaethje will be able to stop some takedowns, maybe fatigue Khabib's arms a little bit where big shots will open up. Because, you know, Gaethje throws a lot of big overhands, a lot of looping shots that in the open, in the center of the cage, could really hurt Khabib.
Yeah. I just wonder if those kicks would be as effective against the guy who is trying to grab your leg and put you on the ground and having faced him.
I mean, it's dangerous to reach and grab for low kicks, you know, a knee could come up. Right. You could turn that low kick into a high kick, a lot of different things. So reaching down to grab low kicks. Now body kicks could be probably take him down every time he throws one, but leg kicks are different, man. Leg kicks. And now everybody's blasting calves. That's a whole different ball game.
And what about Habib's power? I don't think he's got pillow hands. I think that everybody's afraid of his, or concerned with his grappling, I should say, that I think it could leave somebody open. It could leave, I mean, nobody's punch proof. And hey, listen, Justin's got a chin of granite. I may know, but I wouldn't rule that out.
I mean, I cracked it once, but
at one point you felt yourself connect with him, Dustin, and I remember watching it again with Habib. One point you had him going backwards. Anything or no?
I do a thing where I switch stance when I'm throwing my cross and I turn it into a jab, and then I throw my right hand as an overhand. It covers a lot of distance. You see guys like TJ Dillashaw have a lot of success with switching stance in MMA. Guys, a lot of times guys who've been fighting a long time feel like they're out of range and right out of danger's way. And if you follow them switching stance and throwing power shots like that, you can really catch these guys on the end of big shots. And I think, you know, that's what I tried to do there. I tried a few times. I've had success with a lot of guys doing it with Hooker, with Max, you know, a lot of fights I've done it well, but, Khabib pulled and turned just out of a couple inches difference would have made.
Right.
Made the shot land a lot more, but you know, that's fighting. It grazed him for sure.
That could be said for a lot in fighting. That could be said a lot in that fight, from the guillotine to that, what you're talking about right there. You know, so that has to give you, that has, even though the fight ended the way it ended, little things like that that we're pointing out has to just be in you where you're like, all right, I know I'm at that level where if I do meet him again, hey, I'm not outclassed. I know I can make something happen. Do you feel like that or?
You know,
I was surprised how well his balance and understanding of where my weight was. A lot of things surprised me in the fight that we prepared for that I knew was going to be a part a problem or give me some problems in the fight, and he still was able to do it. I think going back to what you said, Matt, I can beat anybody in the world on any given night. I have the skills to compete with anybody in mixed martial arts. And you know, that night I just made a few mistakes, and one mistake in a fight that caliber is too many. So just, you know, just trying to get better. And of course I can beat him.
Jimmy, if you don't mind, this is the thing. Now I don't want to upset everybody, but I really don't think that kind of fight's going to happen. Can I tell you why? And I wanted to, trust me.
Give it to me.
For you, I want it to happen, Dustin. I do. I want you to get that fucking paycheck. You're a good dude, family guy, you have a kid. I want you to get it. But this is the problem here. You're a fucking dangerous, dangerous dude. And there's a huge upside for you because it didn't go great the first time, obviously. Dude, it doesn't mean history is going to repeat itself. You're a dangerous fucking guy. Connor's not stupid. He knows that. There's easier fights for Connor. Why the hell? And he can pick anybody he wants. He was just choosing Diego or whatever. But listen, it is what it is. But, you know, I think when the guys are getting the limelight, he's out of the limelight, no matter what's going down with the fucking Proper 12 and everything, he likes the fucking, all of a sudden you're hearing tweets of fucking, hey, I'm on a box fucking Pacquiao. I want to fight Dustin for charity. And, you know, meanwhile, Izzy and him are having their stare down. He's almost like a jealous little kid. But so he wants to get the attention. He threw this thing out about the charity thing. Now that they're offering the fight, I don't think he's going to take it, man. And I don't think it's a coward thing. I don't think it's fucking smart for him at all, Dustin. And it's only because I hold you in such high regard.
I appreciate that.
Do you kind of want just fight more than just the money reasons? Do you want to just run this?
Of course. At the end of the day, we fight for money. And I've always been a guy, not always. I got to backtrack a little bit. I used to want revenge and I used to want to get even with guys. But these days, man, where I'm at with fighting, if the opportunity arose where I can avenge a loss, great. But I'm not in it for revenge or chasing these guys or trying to get even with anybody. If it's a big fight that makes sense, of course, I would love to take it. And I would love to have that win on my record. It's the biggest fight that I can possibly land in combat sports, right? A fight with Conor McGregor. And looking at it from his side, I don't know what his
upside
interest. For sure, there's some upside there. I'm number two. Khabib said if him or Tony beat me, that he would give them a shot at the title. So if that holds any weight, you know, he's looking at that. So I don't know what his ambition is to get the title back. I don't know how hungry he is to be the UFC lightweight world champion. If it is, a fight with me makes a lot of sense to get the next title shot, right?
Look at that, Jimmy. He changed my hope. He switched me over with my whole point of view on
it. It's strategic.
That's, he could work with that. That's
true. He could push for a fight with Tony. That would be an exciting fight. I'm a fan of the sport. I think it would be a great fight to watch. But Tony's coming off of a loss. I just had the interim title. I'm number two. I'm coming off of a win. A fight of the year contender. I think it makes more sense if you're going to fight and every fight is a chance and a risk, no matter how prepared you are. If you're going to jump in there and risk something, do it with the top guy and get a title shot. Let's go.
And you looked good in that first fight. I know it ended in the first, but you still looked good. And it looked like I still keep thinking that it was an elbow that hit you. Even though maybe it was a punch, but it just kind of caught the back of your head. And for some reason, I kept rewatching it. I'm like, was that an elbow that caught the back of his head?
I don't know what hit me. I thought Herb Dean snuck me or something. I don't know what happened.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, I thought you looked good in that fight up to that point, though. I mean, I would love to see you guys fight again. And I think Conor will fight. I don't know if he's necessarily afraid to fight good guys. I mean, he's taken some tough fights. And he's, I think, at this point, used to fighting just the top tier, you know, guys like yourself or guys like Khabib. Or, you know, I would like to see him and Gaethje as well. I think that would be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, there's lots of fun fights for him.
I would love to see you versus Conor, man. I mean, I would fucking love it. And you've done so much since then. You know what I mean? It's not like you're running this back a fight or two. I mean, dude, look at the tear you went on. Look at the guys you beat. You know what I mean? So if he...
It's a completely different fight. Yeah.
And after you can that carry fight, yourself different.
After that fight, were you like when Conor caught you, was it that you were surprised by his power, or how did you feel after that fight, or like, all right, it's just one of those things that happens, or was there anything you learned from that fight that kind of turned things around for you?
Yeah, going back to what Matt just said, I carry myself different because I care less. You know, I can be more myself because I don't care what anybody else thinks. I think a lot of the pre-fight stuff with Conor and the talk and just the months leading into the fight of overthinking this whole thing, I think played a part in my performance. And now I just don't give a damn. You know, I know who I am. I'm good, man.
Does it, as times for fighters, you know, fighters, you guys are just, you know, I mean, you're regular people too. Like, does it get to you a little bit when a guy is talking shit? Like, I've noticed when fighters, a lot of times a guy will drop his hands. And again, it cost Anderson Silva the title. I mean, you know, Weidman just, you know, knocked him out. But a lot of times guys won't attack when that's happening. Is there something about another guy behaving that way that will sometimes a guy is afraid of coming in and being embarrassed?
Dude, I knocked out Bobby Green when he was hands down talking trash.
How did it feel?
Felt good. It felt great. Felt like money in the bank.
I remember you were saying that fight that he was actually talking shit as he was going down. Right?
Yeah, he was going down telling me, I can't punch. You can't punch and he's on his way down.
Hey, you know what's funny about that?
But he's looking great, man. He's on a 3-5 win streak, looking great. I'm a fan.
You know what? That's so great you said that, because I was about to point that out. Bobby Green, sometimes you see guys, Jimmy, grow up in the sport. As a fighter, they grow as a fighter and they grow as a man, as a person. They grow as a person. You see it. And that's what you see with Bobby Green. And that's I'm glad you pointed that out, Dustin, because look at the way he carries himself in and out. He'll still talk shit in there. I find it hysterical, but he does carry himself in and out of the cage differently now. He's right. A different guy.
Right. And I think that shit talking that he's doing is just how he gets in his groove, how he gets in his rhythm in there. I bet he's like that in the gym having fun. It's not malicious. It's just how he performs and how he fights.
And how's everything over there at American Top Team? Everything's good ever since Dean Thomas left? Everything's still good? I'm only doing my friendship.
It was good before. It was good. It's always been pretty smooth, man. Everybody's working hard. The gym's always progressing. We have new guys on the mats all the time. Great coaches. I'm happy to be a part of that gym. I came back home 2 weeks ago, but I'll be heading back out soon, I think.
Does Dan Lambert hang out around the gym a lot or no?
Oh yeah, I see him every week there.
Hey, he's a good guy. I like Dan. He's a funny guy. He's a ball breaker.
Yeah, and he's a black belt too.
He is a black belt.
Yeah, man.
That's great, man. Oh, that's fantastic.
So how are you handling, with the certain restrictions have been lifted and certain, is it changing your life at all? Like, has things changed for you, like since the last time we talked to you about your training and what you're able to do?
I have a private gym here in Louisiana. So when I come home, I meet up there with certain guys and we run practices and have fun and learn and stay busy. But as far as traveling back and forth to Florida, it hasn't been a whole lot, you know. Like, the thing that kind of worries me is whenever I do start a camp, like I thought I was starting a camp. So I brought my family out a month ago and traveled with my daughter and my wife, you know, wearing masks to the airport and things like that. Other than that, it's pretty much the same thing, man.
Yeah. I guess, is it easier to travel just for you so you don't have to worry about the family? And, you know, it's just probably less pressure for you just to travel by yourself.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot less pressure.
Do you like when they come with you? Like if you're going to go for a fight, do you like when there's family there? Cause if I do a gig, I never like my family to be in the room because I'm just aware that they're there. Does it not bother you? Or do you prefer them to be there?
I prefer them to be there with
me. Oh, you do. You know? Okay.
Yeah.
Motivate you.
Yeah. And fighting is something I've done for so long. And, you know, my family's been part of that. And it just feels different without them being there. I have kind of a method I do when I start a camp. I go out for 2 weeks, kind of get acclimated a little bit. If I do an 8-week camp, I go out for 2 weeks and then they come meet me after that. And they'll spend 5-6 weeks there up until fight week.
And if you lose, what is something like, you know, what is it when you're in the dressing room after you lose? What is it that you want from them? To say something, to say nothing, just to come in? Like, what is the, what helps you?
Man, since my daughter's been born, I've only lost once. And I was in Abu Dhabi and they weren't there.
Okay.
So, I don't need anything from them at that moment. I just want them to know that I'm all right. You know?
Yeah. I just wondered because like I've had bad shows where there's like family at the show and it's like, and they're trying to make me feel better. And I'm like, it sucked. I know it sucked. Like, I don't want people making me feel better. So I just wondered if a fight doesn't go your way, like what is,
I don't like that stuff. I even feel awkward in other people's locker rooms. Like if I'm with some guys and we're cornering someone and they lose and you got one coach is sitting here, man, but in the second round, you landed that good leg kick. We're like, dude.
Yeah.
Wrap it up, B. Wrap it up, B.
I know. Let's just let it go.
Yeah.
That's hysterical. I like when they say, hey, you'll get them next time. Ah, go fuck.
Right.
Go run into traffic, you motherfucker.
People, dude, all the cliche stuff. The guy sitting there with his head down and you're like, oh, man, you're going to – wait a couple of days. You're going to learn so much from this once you get back home. And, you know, this is such a growing experience. And in the heat of the moment, you're like, just shut your mouth. But it's true. It's true.
Yeah. Is it better just to say not? Because the story I've told before is I was at Lesnar Mir 2, where Lesnar took the belt, and we were backstage with Reed Harris. And as you know, Brock walks by, people like, congratulations. And then Frank walked by and you don't know what to say. And my buddy was with me and he goes, great job, Frank. Like, and he meant it like because he liked Frank Mir, but it's like Frank Mir probably wanted to fucking strangle him. Like, what do you say to a guy?
Dude, if you know the person, most likely you know what to say. But I tell you what, when Khabib just finished wringing my neck out and I'm standing up by the cage, the rapper 2 Chainz was there in Abu Dhabi. He was cage side and he has his phone and like, yeah, this is one of those moments. And I'm turning around. I'm looking through the cage and 2 Chainz comes up to the fence and he goes, man, you a good fighter. You a real good fighter. I'm like, bro, my belt, man.
Oh, 2 Chainz said that?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, man.
While I was still in the cage.
I love. What is it, man? Pull up to the scene with the ceiling missing. No?
You know? Jimmy? Yeah.
Jimmy, that's a fucking, you know that song, Jimmy.
No, I don't. I don't listen to
it. Want me to sing it again?
I prefer you didn't. I don't like 2 Chainz because he wasn't nice. I met him once and he wasn't very pleasant. So I hope that you didn't talk to him. Oh, I hope that you just turned around.
Why, Jimmy?
No, it was one of those moments where anything anybody said was just not the right thing. So I just, we didn't talk.
Good.
He was trying to be polite. Jimmy, he was trying to be polite to
Dustin. I don't care. He wasn't nice to me. Dustin didn't talk to him. That's the way I look at it.
Could you tell me and Dustin what he did to you?
I just said hello to him, and he was just act like he didn't hear me. We were in an event.
Well, maybe he didn't hear you. He's a tall gentleman.
Might have had earphones.
No, I couldn't have been closer. I literally couldn't have been closer. Oh my God. You see where I am with this mic? That was his ear. I'm like, hey, man, how are you? Nothing.
And what'd he do? Look right past you.
Yeah, nothing. So now I'm happy. That's karma.
2 Chainz and he has a form. I don't like it. Now I'm not going to listen to his song no more.
But yeah, I guess you don't know what to say when a guy, there's really nothing you should say. I guess just, you know, sometimes I guess just be quiet and let a guy feel what he's feeling.
Less is
yeah,
more.
Let the guy reflect for a moment, man. It's a lot of emotions, a lot coming in, you know?
Yeah. And it's different, Jimmy, when you die on stage, because when you bomb on stage, it hurts your soul. I know it hurts your heart. But when you lose in the cage, it just hurts. It hurts. Cut, you're beat up, you're punched in the elbow.
But you just don't want people sometimes, people who are well-intentioned, trying to make it what it wasn't for you, right. Trying to give you the out that you don't even want. Like sometimes you don't want the out of going, hey, it was them or whatever. It's like, no, I know what happened. I was there. Let me just deal with whatever was idiot.
Hey, Dustin, you'll appreciate this. One of my buddies after I lost the title to St. Pierre and fucking 20,000 people chanted F you, Sarah, and this and that, I lose. I was on all fours. He was kneeing me. I get back to my hotel room. A buddy of mine, he's like, he's a Southern guy. He goes, don't worry. You'll get the eye of the tiger back. Fucking God. I lost the eye of the tiger. It was like, dude, how do you think that went over?
Damn, man.
Holy shit. I give him shit to this day about that.
Yeah. What did you say to him in the moment? I mean, first of all, even if you won, referencing the eye of the tiger is revolting. Nobody likes to have that reference after a fight.
Holy shit. Yeah. I missed the eye of the tiger. I don't know, dude. Jimmy.
Never lose that.
It's a rough game. But listen, man, I'd love to see him fight. Yeah. I'd like to see you fight anybody. Yeah. I want you to fight Conor because that's the fucking money fight. And again, it's a fight you don't even have to sell. I mean, you could sell it with it is an amazing fight on paper. Who the hell is not going to want to watch that? But I don't know. I don't think Conor's going to tank it. He's not a coward. If he does,
of course,
he's
of got, course not. Hey, dude, box Floyd Mayweather. I mean, the guy's the opposite of a coward.
Definitely not a coward, but I just, you know, he also, I see him doing that as soon as he fucking gives Jose Aldo the rematch. The 13-second win. He has a good win over a dangerous guy. Sometimes it's not that enticing to get that fight back.
Especially in the fashion. Like coming back to my fight or to Jose's fight, to knock a guy out in 15 seconds or to knock me out in 2 minutes. Yeah. I mean, how do you best that?
That's my point. Fuck, man. It's not one of those things where I feel he's got your number. I think it could be a battle for the ages, dude. Because
I would love to prove you right.
Because the guy is a stud. People think I hate Connor. I really don't, man. I think he's a skilled motherfucker, you know? Right. But some shit he did, I don't agree with. But I think the guy's a skilled guy.
Of course.
I would love to see you and him fight. I think it would be an amazing fight. And I think, listen, the guy's got more money than God.
Maybe we'll see it.
He's got money now. The guy doesn't have to fight, but he's still lingering around. He wants it. He's a fighter. He wants to fight.
Yeah.
So, fuck yeah. Let's make this happen, Jimmy.
We'll see, man. I want to fight this year. I want to fight, you know, before the new year.
Oh, okay. I heard January. Okay. Maybe before.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that fight, but somebody, I want to fight somebody. If that fight falls through or doesn't come together, I want to fight, man.
You just want to fight if it's not going to be Conor in January.
I've been fighting since 2007, maybe. I've never fought one time in a 12-month period. You know, I've only got one fight in this year. I'm healthy. I'm training. I'm fit. I want to scrap.
Hey, man, well, we want to watch you.
And by the way, would you fight it? What would you fight at? Would you fight 155, 170? Because that's
been here too. With Connor?
If you fight Connor, yeah.
Yeah, but I'll fight either. I'd prefer 170.
You do?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, very interesting.
I'm in shape right now, and I'm probably waking up 180, 182-ish. So let's go.
Yeah, and don't forget, Connor did try. I mean, they tried to give Jose a rematch, but it was very short notice because I think Dos Anjos couldn't fight. So they actually did offer him a second shot at it, but I think he said no because he hadn't had a camp.
I'm ready right now, tomorrow. Knock on the door. We'll go right now.
Awesome.
Well, I hope it happens, man. We love you. And, you know, you're never in a fight that's not enjoyable. Honestly, that Hooker fight was amazing. You know, and if it's not Connor, it'll be some other unlucky son of a bitch has to deal with you.
Before
the end of the year.
For sure. I appreciate it, man.
Awesome, Dustin, man. Right, thanks, Dustin, for hanging with us, buddy.
Always good talking to you.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Take care, buddy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
I mean, I like talking to
sure, to
Dustin. You know, he's a good dude.
But he looks big. He looks large.
And I don't take, you know, listen, I want to see that fucking fight.
Yeah.
Trust me, you know, but I just think that the upside for Connor is not, I mean, that's not the most motivating fight. You know what I mean? He has a good win over a very dangerous man.
That's right. You're not going to top that. You're right.
Maybe he thinks he can. Maybe that could be his thing. I'm going to do it quicker this time. The guy obviously he wants to obviously still fight. If not, he could just go off to the sunset. He's got enough money. So it's exciting, Jimmy. Sure. You know, what's the rest of your day like?
Literally after by the time your Zoom is closed, I will be shitting.
Jimmy!
You can cut that if you want.
No, leave it.
The rest of my day is going to be, I have a couple of errands to run, but not a whole lot. I've been to the gym already, so just a few few errands, and I'm working on a chip soundboard for chipchipperson.com and some chip ringtones, which I will be glad to send you.
We'll get back to that.
Okay, buddy.
But Jimmy, I'm going to do some jujitsu with my buddy Tess. He's a brown belt of mine. I'm going to meet him around like 5:30, get a good sweat out. And then I might be teaching some jujitsu to some of my buddies. You know what I mean?
Good, brother.
You know what I mean? But hey, listen. Hey, I always love seeing you, Jimmy.
Me too,
man. I'm going to see you in a couple of days. I cannot wait to talk about the card this coming weekend.
Yeah.
And you know what? We might have missed some of those people on the... Oh, shit, Jimmy. Really quick. We're leaving right now. I know you have to shit. But
that's okay.
I'm not in this fight because we talked about... We talked about Kyler Phillips, who we fucking impressed with. How could we not mention Dusko Todorovic?
We mentioned him briefly. We both had him picked.
But, dude, he was a damn stud in there.
Yeah, he was.
He was a beast. Incredible.
Yeah.
He was a beast, Jimmy.
Yes, he was.
And also, we talked about Luigi. He was great. Yeah. Casey Kenny looked amazing. I mean, 30-25, 30-26, 30-27. So I really was impressed with Casey Kenny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was great, Jimmy. Okay. Listen, go ahead. Go potty. I can't wait to talk about the card coming up with
I can't wait
Marlon
either.
Moraes versus Sam Hagen.
Yeah, we got Marlon.
What else you want to talk to about? Yeah, anything else you want to talk about now?
No, we can talk Wednesday.
Jimmy. All right, Jimmy. Go ahead, go to the bathroom. Everybody, Unfiltered Army, we love you so much. All right, buddy. Later, Jimmy. Goodbye, everyone.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.